Let us turn again then to Proverbs chapter 1, that passage that we read, although not only this passage, as Proverbs has quite a bit to say about the fool. So we might take as our text this morning, verse 32. Proverbs 1, verse 32. The turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Yes, I'm coming back to Proverbs. We can't say that we have finished with it. It hasn't finished with us. It is perhaps the nearest thing that we have in the Bible to today's soundbite approach to life. There are those captions that we can take and carry with us. But unlike the soundbite age that we live in, one soundbite isn't enough. We must not walk away from Proverbs before we have heard more of what it has to say. And that's true of the Bible as a whole. We all too often put it to the side when there is so much more that we need to hear. Even then, as we come to this subject in Proverbs today, we'll not be looking at every single verse. That is your job at home, personally. But it is today to offer some guiding threads and a few other similar subjects, leading subjects that we have here. I would hope to deal with them in the next few weeks as well. Previously, looking at Proverbs, inevitably we have talked about wisdom. It is the opening, it is the central theme, it is the opening even of this section that we read this morning, which does largely talk about the fool. It is particularly accentuates that because it's telling us that wisdom calls aloud outside, the point being that the fool will not listen to wisdom. Take that with you, if nothing else. We have dwelt, as well as wisdom, we've dwelt on a number of other sections. There's a different makeup to different parts of the book where we dwell on the contrast, for example, between the wise and the foolish, the contrast between knowledge and understanding and not having these things. We've looked at words and speaking. These are prominent themes in the book. But today, to come to one of the other key themes, and especially in contrast to that central message of wisdom, is the theme of the fool. The person who rejects wisdom, the fool, how the fool sees himself, first of all, how the fool looks at wisdom, but also, as our text points out, at issue is the fool's blindness to his future. To speak then a little first about the fool's view of himself, and Proverbs doesn't exactly say the fool thinks of himself like this or like that, but we don't need that. We can tell what he thinks of himself, his view of himself, simply by looking at how he treats advice and how he treats other people. Look at wisdom. Wisdom says in these few verses, in verse 29, for example, they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. In our own text, we have complacency. We have turning away. It could be translated as waywardness, but turning away is more or less where a way is set in front of them, and the simple man says, no, I'm going the other way. In verse 22 and 29, it tells how a fool hates knowledge. Or in verse 25, how he disdains or despises, rejects all my counsel and wisdom, despises reproof in verse 30. These all speak of a proud person, hating knowledge, complacent, quite satisfied where they're at, disdaining counsel when there's wisdom being given to them. They disdain it. They cast it off. They say, that's just nothing. Despising, the same thing, reproof. How does the fool see himself? He's quite satisfied in himself. Doesn't need anybody else's insights. That's the picture that the fool shows in front of us here. Hates knowledge. You try and inform, you try and guide, you try and advise. They hate it. That's the fool. What does he think of himself? What do I need of anyone else or anyone else's insights? Doesn't matter if they're so much older and they've been this way before, umpteen times. The answer is, I'm going to learn this myself. Or, even worse, I know it already. That's the fool. Which of us hasn't done that? Somehow, sometime. Which of us is not doing it these days, some way, in some concern? Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, as he sets out to apply the great mercies of God in Christ, he says we should not be thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. That was centuries after Solomon wrote these Proverbs, and it was still an issue. It's still an issue today. And the fool does think of himself more highly than he ought to think. When there's a wise man would give him wisdom. Wisdom calls aloud outside. It's not for want of trying, not for want of making a voice heard. It's simply that I don't want to hear this voice. I know best. And this is perhaps as complete a picture as we can get in the Bible's definition of a fool. It is someone who is satisfied in himself. By his very approach to life, very approach to himself, he doesn't hear, doesn't receive. Instead, all these other things and wisdom he disdains. Wisdom is a great treasure, and he casts it off. And so let's look at the fool's view of wisdom. This is all the more revealing. The fool has no place, he has no time for wisdom other than his own. And I need to ask here, because you and I, we are here. It's not the other people outside that we might say, well, that's what they're doing. What about here? People outside may be fools, but what hope do they have if we go back to foolishness, if we're still fools? The question needs to be, how do you and I respond? Let me ask, when you are offered help, how do you answer? When you're about to do something and you're offered of you, how do you respond? When you're corrected, reproof, how do you respond? Do you refuse it? Do you despise it? What about when you're going through a situation and somebody else comes up with an idea, and they may have thought it through a great length, and you've just heard it for the first time? How do you respond? Young folk, when mum and dad advise you, how do you respond? All of us, when the church calls for a certain way, how do you respond? And most particularly when it's pointed out to you how clear the Bible is that this or that is not pleasing to God. Or when the Bible says, this is pleasing to God, go this way. How do you respond? These are the things that are set before the fool, and the fool says, not for me, thank you. How do you respond? In any of these things, in all the advice that Proverbs gives, and some that we're still going to come to, how do you respond? The fool says, no. The wise man says, let me listen and learn. How do you respond? I know best. Take another look. Pause. Listen, consider, or you're in danger of being a fool. In Proverbs, there are three English words that are in a group together. We have them given to us in verse 22. Simple ones, scorners, and fools. And the way that the Hebrew text is prepared, these are in, we'd say, parallel lines. They are given in sequence to draw them together. They're linked together, expressing in different words essentially the same thing. But we can learn something from these titles, these names that are given. They're also there in our text, two of them at least. There's the simple and there's the fool. And we see through even these few verses, as well as other parts of Proverbs, we see that all three of them essentially approach wisdom in the same way. They love simplicity, the simple ones. Let me stay as I am. I don't need complexity. I don't need wisdom. The scorner delights in their scorning. Everything is mocked and cast off. And you try and offer knowledge to fools, and they hate it, they will hate you for it. It's not for me, thank you, in all three cases. And it's that that makes them what they are. It's that that makes you, makes me, what we are, if that's the way we approach wisdom. It's not how long you simple ones, or in verse 32, the turning away of the simple will slay them. We're not talking here about those in the world who, in a genuine way, we might be able to call simple. These are the ones who make the choice. These are the ones who love simplicity. These are the ones who hate knowledge, who will not receive. It's their love of it. It's of their own will, their own volition. One commentator, Derek Kidner, writes, the problem here is that one does not stay still. We're talking about the simple, the scorner, the fool. One does not stay still. A man who is empty-headed will end up wrong-headed. You can take that with you too, I'm sure. He goes on, the simple is here is no half-wit. He prefers not to accept discipline in the school of wisdom. It's a choice. It's a deliberate response to the offering of wisdom out there in the open. He says, no, that's not for me. I prefer the simple life, so-called. That's the simple. There's also the fool that we have in verse 32 and 22. I'll talk about the fool first because it is the most common. And our English word fool is used for three different Hebrew words which cover something like 70 plus occurrences through Proverbs. The most common of them is the man who is dull and obstinate, and not by nature, by choice. Again, the same thing. It's the one who just happily goes through life, accepting things as they appear to be. Doesn't put any effort into truly searching for wisdom or for sifting the things of life around. Anything goes, anything takes his fancy. So far. So long as it doesn't smack of wisdom. And we have given to us the root of the problem in verse 29. The whole reason for this trouble is because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. That's not the starting point. They don't begin there. That's a dangerous place to be. And then all sorts of things will appear to be wise without a genuine examination. There's so many things going on in our world today. You look at the headlines, you look at the ways that people are dealing with certain situations. It's completely illogical in so many of these cases. It doesn't take you much to think critically about what they're doing and what they're saying. And it does not match. That's the dullness. Not a thorough examination, not digging just below the surface to see, do these things hold together? It's a dangerous place to be. It's a danger to others. You see what this fool is like? He's one who won't listen to other people. That means his idea has to carry the day. Or hers. That's a dangerous place for so many people. A little further on in chapter 17, verse 12, Proverbs says, "Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs, rather than a fool in his folly." You try and open a man to see how foolish his way is, you're in greater danger, he says, than if you were to steal the cubs from a mother bear. I wouldn't be there for anything, but a fool would be. A man who is dull and obstinate, but again, by choice. It's not just a matter of nature. It's not that some are more foolish than others as they're made. It's not genetics. It's will. Choice. The set of the mind. That's by far the most common of the 50 times. There's another that appears 19 times, another word, which is similar. They're all very similar, but they have a nuance. And this one is a word that speaks of moral insolence, of flippancy. In chapter 14, verse 9, it tells us that fools mock at sin. Chapter 14, verse 9. That is scary. And that's what's going on in our world today, in the West. Just reading a piece just the other day that one of the last things you're allowed to say these days. How dare you talk of sin? How dare you even mention it? There's no such thing, we're told. Mock it. And then it has a grip. This attitude of life has such a vice-like grip on people. Because if you laugh at something, you can't take it seriously. That's what they're doing. It's so effective. Such an effective tool of the devil. Mocking at sin, mocking at that moral discrepancy. What a condition to be in. And it's this word that is used when it tells us in chapter 22, verse 15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The problem being that we're talking here about folk who should be maturing. Focus should be moving on. We all begin in this state of foolishness. It needs to be dealt with early. But many won't receive that correction. Won't receive a new steer on life. Let's not be as children in foolishness. And then there is a third word that is called, described, translated as fool, and it doesn't appear very often, but it is the same as, if you remember the story of David and Abigail in 1 Samuel 25, and her husband was being an obnoxious fool. His name was Nabal, and that is exactly the word that is used in several places in Proverbs. And she said his name matches him. You see a great picture of just the kind of fool that's in mind here. His mind is so closed it's pointless to speak to him. And Proverbs 26 has this fascinating combination. First it says in verse 4, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him." And really that's the kind of fool that we're talking about here. There's no point in speaking to him. But then maybe, chapter 26 goes on to say, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes." Throw up in front of him the foolishness of the way that he's taking, is what it's saying there. But there again is a fool who just will not listen, pointless to speak to him, and the old word being a boor, just being absolutely obnoxious in response to the wisdom that you would offer. And then along with that is the third of these terms, is the scoffer or the scorner. And this perhaps demonstrates most clearly the mental attitude that is at issue here. It's the one who does, in the later verses, disdains counsel. In verse 26, wisdom says, "I will laugh at your calamity," because that's what you've been doing to wisdom. You've disdained, you've cast these things off, you've despised my reproof. Well, if that's the way you want to go, that's where you'll be left. The thing about the scoffer and the scorner is just the impact that he has on others especially. I said it a moment ago where there's a flippancy about sin, not treating it seriously. That's the way that wisdom is often treated. The man who might be cautious, people laugh at him. And who wants to be associated with such a person? Who wants to be associated with the teaching of Scripture? Because the fool, there are scorners who laugh at it, dismiss it. It's already being ridiculed. Why join in? Why join up in this path? But that's not all the story that the Proverbs gives us as to the fool. The fool surely ought not to be, but he is, blind to his future. And wisdom is explaining what the future will be. It's the turning away of the simple that will slay them. The complacency of fools that will destroy them. We've been studying Pilgrim's Progress. And how often there's been a wandering away. That somebody has just been absorbed in their own ways, not listening, not taking direction that's been given to them, offered to them, and they come into destruction and trouble. This is the fool. The time will come when he will face his destruction. What about today? There was a story that Jesus told of a man who was doing very well in life, thank you very much. So well that he had to expand his infrastructure to cope with all the product that he had produced. And then he got through the whole process, he was satisfied. I guess he had made his profits and channeled them through the Channel Islands or whatever it might be. And he sat down and he said, "Take your comfort. Enjoy these things." But God said, "You fool, tonight your soul is required of you." This is not necessarily just way, way ahead. It gives us plenty of time to get the things sorted out and to enjoy so-called foolishness for a generation and then to sort things out at the last. That's not what this is about. Teach me, Psalm 39 said, teach me to number my days. You have today. Tomorrow is not certain. Will you be wise in today? Will I be wise today? There is a sense in which your soul is required of you today, every day. How do you stand before God, giving account of your soul? God's word says, as the teacher says here, there's a therefore, because of all this, because they would have none of my counsel, they despise my reproof, therefore, verse 31, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. That's the way they want to go, that's the way they will go. They will be filled to the full with their own fancies. Wonderful verse in the English of it. But very troubling when you realize what that means. It means death. They'll be slain. It means destruction, which is the outcome, the necessary outcome of the way that they've chosen. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You can scoff at wisdom. You can scorn the ways of God and of Scripture. But don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil, wisdom concludes. The fool disdains counsel. What he doesn't seem to see is that that's a statement. It's a statement that effectively says, I don't care what lies ahead. It's a statement that says, no one can tell me anything about that I don't know already. And that's the mind that we're surrounded by today. People will say the scripture is telling us something that can't be true. That's what they say. We know. What do they know? They know nothing. But we do. Well, if we do, what do we do with it? And what a powerful way of thinking this is. The fool who says, I don't care what lies ahead. You would say, well, I would never say that. I would never do that. I would never think that way. I would never act on that. Well, let's be careful. It may not be all of your life, but there could be parts of your life and parts of mine. You'd hate to be called a fool or a simple one. But examine your spirit. What is in your mind? How are you approaching the call of wisdom? How are you approaching the Lord? The trouble here, as verse 29 says, is they did not choose the fear of the Lord. But that doesn't come without consequences. This, of course, this great wisdom is found most clearly in the gospel. The very hardest thing for anyone to give way in is to hear God's word, which says, you are a sinner. You can do nothing yourself. But I've done something. I've given a way. Paul says that it's foolishness to those who think they're wise in this world. He also says, as he writes to Timothy, he says, the scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Instead of this death and destruction of verse 32, take the promise and the assurance of Ephesians chapter 1, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You may know. The fool says, I hate knowledge. It's only a touch, a glimpse on the fool. As we close, I want to ask, is the fool the other man? Or is he me? In how many ways do I still resist wisdom? In how many ways do I still prefer my own way? But is it really your own way? How much of it have you taken from other fools? In how many ways do I hate having my ideas thrown up in their limitations and I refuse a better way? Who am I to know wisdom? For the one who says, I trust in Christ more than anyone, that is not the mind of Christ whom you profess. His call is to an eternal hope, not destruction. But it is by way of the wisdom for life that Proverbs tells us. Each one of us has a great need to examine our spirit. It's wonderful if you've made the beginning. How much more there is to learn wisdom. And if not yet, wisdom calls out to you. Wisdom calls to begin with the fear of the Lord. You do need to deal with God. Wisdom says, receive the call of Christ on your life. Receive what he gives. Trust in him, not yourself. And wisdom says, you listen to me, you'll dwell safely. There's a great inheritance. If you'll be wise to salvation, trusting God's word, as it's written, and as it came to live amongst us, O Lord Jesus Christ, don't be a fool. Let us pray together.